Okay, I think I'll continue the discussion on contamination as it's on plastic wrap contamination as it's quite prudent. It was just interesting, as I said earlier, this is my seventh belt wide in a row, and it was quite interesting when you go back to 2011 when was the first time that I came. You look at the proceedings. There's not much mention about round modules, very little, and as the year sort of progressed and as the American industry adopted more and more rounds, it seems that it's becoming more and more prevalent. And I think this year is probably the most presentations I've seen on round modules and contamination and all the rest of it. So I think from an Australian perspective, we are obviously very happy about this because we've adopted them since 2008. And it's sort of been a lonely sort of a fight against them, and it's always good to have somebody else looking at it as well. So what we're going to do today is just talk about, as Chris was saying, I think is independent of which unwrapping system you use and how diligent people are, there's always the opportunity that plastic will get through. And there was a misconception in our industry that, oh, when the plastic gets through, that's okay, the textile mills will get rid of it and it's not a problem. And so that's what really started this study. Unfortunately, it hasn't come out very, very well, but you know, there you can see one of our module yards. This is a gin up in Emerald, one of our older gins, and you can clearly see that round modules is to the fore. And our module yards generally can hold between 5 and 18,000 rounds at a time. And as Chris says, they get empty two or three times in a season, depending on the season. So last year I presented a little study looking at what happens in the spinning mill, and what we did was we took 50 kilos of upland lint and we contaminated with 0.85 grams of plastic, and I'll get back to that why we did that. We spun it into a 30 ring spun combed yarn and then we knitted it. And as you will recall, we found that we found 7 pieces of plastic. And here you can see very clearly, and that's what it looks like in the fabric, and that's when you take the plastic out. And the total weight of all the plastic was this ridiculously small number, and it was 0.14% of the plastic basically remained in the yarn. And so we've said that, yes, certainly during the spinning process, there is a lot of plastic being removed, same as in the ginning process. I think a lot of plastic that enters the gin has also been removed, but there's also quite a bit that's not removed. So what we thought is, well, let's do it in a bigger scale. You know, doing it at a small scale is always great, but let's do it in a bigger scale in modern mill. A few of our gins had some that they thought cotton bales that were contaminated and actually physically broke the bales open in the mill and had people manually actually go through the bales and take out the plastic. And here you can see, and we found that on average between 4 to 8 grams of plastic was found in the bales. And so on your right, you can see that's what 4 grams of plastic looks like. And then in the middle, 6 grams, and here, 8 grams. And so we took that plastic that they removed from the bales, went to the gin, and on purposely contaminated 3 bales. So we put the plastic in the lint slide and on purposely contaminated. So now we know exactly how much contamination is in the bale, which is really relevant to what is normally found, and that's where we got that 0.85 grams per 50 kilos. That's the relationship. And so while Chris was there, we processed the one bale with 6 grams of plastic through our commercial spinning mill, and the whole thing was to find out, well, what is the effect of this plastic on yarn performance and fabric performance and also quality. So this is just a little slide of our mill. It's very similar to the mill that's in USDA. Just slightly different equipment. So, you know, we have the bale opener where we put the bales, goes through, we have the carding machine, the drawing, we have the combing machines, we have the ring spinning with the winding and the open end, the knitting machine. We also dyed the fabric and then we inspected the fabric as well. So in this system, we decided to do it 3 ways. So we processed the full bale of cotton, we got out about 150 kilos and then we split it in 3. A third went into ring spun carded, a third went into ring spun combed, and a third went into open end because we wanted to see what the differences were. And then with the ring spun yarns, we also went, of that 50 kilos of yarn that we then produced, half of it we did uncleared and half of it we did cleared. We wanted to see what the effect of the clearers were. Now, the clearers that we used didn't have any foreign fiber detection in them. There's probably about 60% of all the clearers worldwide, which is on the wider machines, that got foreign fiber detection. But in China, that is very low. And also in our mill, we didn't have foreign fiber detection in the blow room, which a lot of mills do have. I think it's estimated about 5,000 foreign fiber detection mechanisms are in mills worldwide, which is only a very, very small percentage if you consider China has thousands of spinning mills. So this is sort of the process that we did. First of all, I didn't acknowledge my two co-authors, which I should, because we had the French intern that actually did all this work, and she never wants to see plastic contamination again. And judging by what you see at the bottom here, you can probably see why. She, as Chris said, she actually manually went through everything. So up there we got all the waste that is generated during the spinning process, and we specifically concentrated on the coarse filter and the fine filter waste. In other words, that's the waste that's extracted by the carding and blow room, which comes to about close to 10 kilos, which she took 6 weeks to go through. And so we found in the waste, we found that there were 3.82 grams we found in the waste. So if you think back, we put 6 grams in, and so that equated to 64% of the plastic that was in the bales was actually taken out by the blow room and cards. And here you can see the difference, and again, it doesn't really come up as much. We had over 4,000 pieces of varying sizes. And so she painstakingly put them on all these velvet boards. And I'm not sure if it's very apparent here, but as we know, the plastic wrap has got three components to it. And if you look at these pictures here, you can see the different colors. You can see sort of you've got a white one, and you've got the yellow one, and you've got sort of the translucent one. So what that really means is that the three pieces that make up the wrap does actually disintegrate during the process, which to us was quite a revelation. We didn't actually expect that. So I've got a few of those little samples here, which Maud took out. So if you're at all interested, it's very, very small. The idea was also for her to try and get the size, but we very quickly realized that was never going to happen. Right, so then we obviously, as I said, we spun it and we processed it into knitted fabric. So there we have the open end, we have the ring frame carded uncleared, carded cleared, combed uncleared, and combed cleared. And we produced, there you can see, 200 meters. So it's a fair trial, you know, a couple of rolls. And you can see on your right there, so on the open end, we found 20 pieces of plastic in the greyish fabric. And it's quite difficult to actually see. So we had two girls or two technicians going through it, and Chris will vouch for that they actually looked at it, but also felt it with their hands to try and find the plastic. It's very, very difficult. You can imagine they're very, very small to try and find. And here you can see, you know, how small they actually are. And so we found in the open end, we found 20 pieces. In the carded uncleared, we found 8. In the carded cleared, we found 7. In the combed uncleared, 11. And the combed cleared, 17. So, and the far right column there, we just aggregated to per 100 meters just to make it sort of a... We were actually quite happy. We thought, oh, well, that's not too bad. We'll be right. And so we actually put it through the dyeing process, and that's when we got a big shock. So we obviously just took one roll. We just took one roll of each one and processed it. And so you can see there in the middle column on the grayish, there was 6 on the open end, ring frame carded uncleared, 6, carded clear, 4, 12, 10. And then after the dyeing process, all of a sudden we had quadrupled. And here you can, again, if you can see, again, as I said, the three layers of the plastic that sort of disseminated, you can again see you got sort of the white, you got the translucent one, you got the white one over there, and you got the sort of the yellow one over here. And so that really came as a bit of a shock and a surprise to us. We would have thought that that we'd found them all. So, and they are very, very, very small. Of concern to us, most of Australian cotton goes into the ring spinning process, which is the high end. And we were quite concerned by the fact that certainly during the coned process, you know, after clearing, the contamination or the plastic didn't actually reduce. So that's telling us that under normal circumstances, if you've got normal clearers, it's not really going to take out the plastic. And we thought that it would have. So that's come as a bit of a shock and a surprise to us. I'm not quite sure why that is. But anyway, it is as it is. So further work that we're doing now is that we know that most of the contamination is taken out by the filtration and the carding. So we've processed another bale, and we did it while Maud, our student, was here, with the hope that she could get to that. But you know, she would have killed me if I asked her to do that. So I've got one of my other technicians doing it, so they'll kill me when I get back. But anyway. And so what we did is we put on our carding machine. We've got this, what we call the WAC. It's like a vacuum cleaner. So instead of the waste going to the filtration, it actually will go into these machines. So we've got the different pipes in the different areas, and also on the cleaner mat as well. We've coupled it. We've done the trials. We're busy looking at trying to find out which areas is extracting the most contamination. So with that, I'd just like to acknowledge Northwest Ginning, who helped us with this trial, and all the staff at CSIRO for their technical assistance. Thank you. And I'll leave the plastic here, or maybe I'll send it around. So anybody who wants to have a squiz, please.
All right, thanks, Renee.